Tahun 2022 dan 2021, 2021 dan juga 2020 menjadi tahun penuh gelora susulan penularan pandemik COVID-19 sekaligus menjejaskan mata pencarian buat berjuta rakyat Malaysia. Namun, sinar di sebalik tempoh sukar ini adalah sektor teknologi kewangan ataupun fintech berkembang dengan pesat. Peralihan digital Malaysia berterusan sejak sedekad lalu, namun COVID-19 telah mempercepatkan lagi penggunaan perbankan digital sebagai contoh. Dan juga penggunaan kewangan digital yang pesat juga diperhatikan di seluruh segmen fintech lain termasuk pengiriman wang, teknologi kekayaan dan juga pembiayaan alternatif. Dan minggu hadapan kita akan saksikan My Fintech Week berlangsung menghimpunkan pakar dalam pelbagai bidang untuk membincangkan soal fintech. Namun apakah trend dan juga jangkaan kita untuk fintech khususnya di Malaysia? Saya ingin bawakan tamu pada jam ini, Wong Kah Meng, iaitu pengasas Funding Societies. Kah Meng, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been 2 years since the pandemic struck Malaysia. We've learned a lot and so much about digital that includes for fintech as well. But you've been in the business even before the pandemic. What are the trends do you see in terms of P2P financing during this challenging time?
Hi, good morning. I think first and foremost, many thanks to Najib Ashrawani for having me on the show this morning. Definitely happy to be back after a few years on the show and to share some of the observations that we had in a couple of years. So I think good question. I think the last 2 years have definitely been quite an interesting few years given the whole pandemic situation. And I think overall, we've seen a clear increase in terms of the awareness and interest in digital financing solutions among SMEs. And how we have come to this conclusion is really looking at the amount of search traffic, how many SMEs are actually looking online for loans, for business loans. And even in terms of the numbers of SMEs that we've been able to onboard through our digital channels, such as our partnership with Foodpanda, Lazada, and so on and so forth. I think those are some of the indications that we've seen in terms of just the increase appeal of digital banking solutions brought on by the pandemic. I think lastly, it's also in terms of the number of SMEs that we have served who participate in the digital economy. So this could be retailers, SME operators who start selling and doing business online. I think there's also quite a few good and well-known reports, let's say by Google, that talks about how digital financing solutions have actually increased during this pandemic period. And also a big majority of it is expected to sustain after this pandemic period is over.
Kah Meng, how has the pandemic accelerated and closes any gaps for early stages of financing in Malaysia during the pandemic?
Yeah, I think overall, our belief is that the gap has increased for the financing gap for the micro and small SMEs in Malaysia. I think the reason why we say that is because generally the financial service industry requires some level of track record, typically 2 to 3 years at least, before they are able to provide financing support to these micro and small enterprises. But I think from a digital financing sort of industry perspective, platforms such as ours only require a minimum eligibility criteria of 6 months in business operations. So I think the digital financing industry has tried to do its part in terms of helping to narrow this SME financing gap for younger customers. But I think overall, I do think that there's been a bit of a widening of the gap given the last 2 years.
Kah Meng, how about investors? Are they keen into investing more during the pandemic, or are they taking a step back and be more cautious?
Yeah. So I think during the onset of the pandemic back in 2020, I think first and foremost, there's been initial knee-jerk reaction whereby investor sentiment was quite adversely affected. And hence, they're taking a wait-and-see approach. They choose not to invest more. They want to see whether the SMEs are able to recuperate and recover after the lockdowns are over. So I think that was the initial knee-jerk reaction that we observed in the market. I think afterwards, we have seen investors coming back. And I think a lot of it goes back to really the track record of a particular platform and also the default rates and the repayment that has been forthcoming even during a pandemic scenario. I think on our end, specifically, we also expanded the kind of investment offerings that we have for investors. So building onto not just the existing products, financing propositions and investment propositions that we have, but also providing guaranteed investment offerings to cater for a low risk appetite investor base as well. So I think that has really helped us to acquire and target and provide more investment options to investors during this pandemic situation.
I want to talk about the default rate later on, but the funding societies has crossed 1 billion disbursement financing milestone. Share with us the journey.
Yeah, so I think it's been an exciting past 5 years. So funding societies in Malaysia, we started off in 2017. And I think back then there was a lot of hype and there's a lot of growth that we experienced 2017, 2018, 2019, whereby we grew multiple folds every year. I think 2020 and 2021 was a different ballgame altogether. It is about protecting and serving the SMEs that we have already have on board while continuing to intelligently serve SMEs that are impacted during this COVID scenario. At the same time, also balancing that with the need to protect the investors' investments with us to these SMEs that have been impacted. So I think the 2020-2021 period has been a different kind of year that we have had to manage. But I think overall, that has really sort of solidified and it actually stress-tested the underwriting and the risk assessment model that we have built throughout the year. So I think that has been a silver lining in terms of the entire past couple of years since we have been in Malaysia. So I think beyond that, I think very heartened to see also the team growing in terms of maturity and growth over the past 2 years, being able to manage through a crisis period, having to pivot, having to be agile, making changes to our underwriting models, being alert in terms of what's going to happen in the next quarter. So I think we're very heartened to see in terms of growth and development from a team perspective as well.
Generally, for funding societies itself, how has the returns rate been so far, given that we faced difficulties in the past 2 years?
Overall, our returns have been quite consistent. So I think one of the questions that you mentioned that you want to be talking about is around default rates. So I think from our perspective, we take a risk-based pricing approach, whereby higher-risk customers, we charge a higher interest rate, and vice versa, lower, safer customers and more credit customers, which we charge a lower interest rate. So that to the investors, they are able to get a commensurate risk return on their investment into these SMEs. So I think over the past 2 years, I think the default rate that we've been able to maintain at 3% over this period of time, despite the whole pandemic situation, and henceforth, in terms of the returns to investors, have been quite consistent as well.
Kamek, a lot of businesses, especially the small ones, face an unprecedented pressure and majority of them cannot service their debt and also financing. How is your default rate was impacted during the pandemic and what are some of the efforts you put forth to overcome this?
So our default rate has maintained stable over the pandemic period at 3%. So this is a very great achievement because one of the big skepticism from the market when we first launched is whether or not our risk underwriting models are able to withstand a stress scenario, a pandemic scenario, for example. So I think the whole 2 years have been a proving ground for us to demonstrate the sophistication and robustness of our risk underwriting. So I think from that perspective, it's been a great 2 years for us in terms of being able to maintain the default rate at a stable level. I think how we've been able to achieve this is through a multi-pronged approach. I think we have first and foremost, launched a deferment program. So during the pandemic period, we understand that SMEs are unable to operate their business and hence unable to generate cash flows to make payments on time. But we believe in SMEs and basically we have launched deferment programs to these SMEs to a large number of SMEs customers that we had. And I think very heartened to see that more than 97% of these SMEs under this deferment program has actually made their prepayments on time afterwards. Okay. So I think it's really very enlightening and very heartening to see the recovery rate coming out from these deferment programs. I think on the other hand as well, during the pandemic period, we have also continued and providing financing to SMEs within industries that are most impacted. So say, for example, retail trading and food and beverages. And I think we have been able to do this by working with strategic partners such as Lazada, such as Foodpanda, and leveraging on alternative data with consent in order to inform and to provide superior risk assessment. So we have actually been able to even do better from a default risk performance perspective, serving these SMEs in these industries that are most impacted during the pandemic through working with partnerships, through leveraging on authentic data for superior risk assessment. So I think that's how some of the strategies that we have employed during the past 2 years in order to achieve a stable default rate overall.
Kamek, we have 2 minutes left. BNM will issue 5 licenses for digital banking later this quarter. How do you see this from a financing provider perspectives as well as consumer perspectives when it comes to microfinancing?
I think this is definitely a great step forward in terms of the overall digital financing landscape perspective, both from a consumer as well as from an SME perspective, because more options are always better. A lot of the financing propositions, value propositions of these digital banks would be centered around customer value propositions, solving pain points, and so on and so forth. So I think broadly, it's going to be a great step forward. I think from our perspective, I think we've been working with banks in order to provide financing solutions to SMEs since the past couple of years ago. And I think that is something that we are more than very happy to do and continue doing coming into the future when the digital banks are announced and launched. Likewise, we're working with existing banks as well. So I think we as a platform business really is looking forward to these digital banks and existing banks partnership in the future.
Okay.
I think likewise also, we are looking to see how we are provide more types of digital financial services to our SME clients through these partnerships. So going beyond just lending per se, but also helping them to manage their cash flows, helping them to manage their transactions as well.
Okay, Kamek, thank you so much for spending time with us this morning to share the good news as well, crossing 1 billion disbursement. Congratulations again, and then also good luck for your business. Wong Kamek, iaitu pengasas Funding Societies, kita bincangkan tentang fintech minggu hadapan. Seperti yang saya sebutkan pada awal tadi, kita akan ada My Fintech Week untuk di Astro One. Kita akan bawakan perbincangan eksklusif untuk kita melihat kepada trend dan juga bagaimanakah untuk kita mengembangkan lagi khususnya untuk pasaran Malaysia. Sekian sahaja Negawani untuk jam ini. Saya Najib Arif. Assalamualaikum. Salam hormat. We'll be right back.